Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 239. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan, but tonight I'll be Mordechai Kaplan to you, sir.
Oh, boy, you can find me at... you can find me on the road. I just finished my Detroit week, but you can find me on July 31st with Sir Michael Ira Kaplan and Dr. Andrea Jones, Roy Professor Andrew Heaton at Stand Up New York Comedy Club, July 31st, 6 p.m. We will be doing a live show starring everyone from the world's smartest podcast network. We will all be doing stand-up comedy, which for me, ho-hum, no big deal. You can see that 7 days a week. But Kaplan will be doing stand-up comedy. That's the headline.
That is the opposite of ho-hum. That's hum-ho. It's gonna be an experience, everybody.
It could be great. It could be a car crash. I think it'll be great. The first two times. So
if you were on a boat somewhere in the North Atlantic and you saw the Titanic sink from a distance, that would have been fun, right? So
To tell for the rest of your life.
It's a story to tell. You were there.
So, you were there one way or the other.
You can see behind me. I got it. It's on the blackboard in my apartment. We wrote it down. It's official. So it's happening. I'm not bailing. I write down all the important dates to remember so I won't forget. I've written it down. Not
this
canceling.
Is a good time to say
up.
Kaplan, this is an audio only episode so no one can see your blackboard, but
I can see.
I can see it, and it is true. You've written it down, so you're not forgetting about the date. Yeah, you're not. We're not going to call you at 6 p.m. on July 31st, and you're going to say, "What's happening? I don't know."
Yeah, I can't get out of it. It's official now, so I will be there. Everybody, come. It's going to be a smart night. We're gonna have a roundtable discussion. All of our brains are gonna.
We're all doing stand up, and after the stand up, we're doing a roundtable. Yes. Yeah. And you all can right. Bring your own questions. We encourage you to bring your own questions because we don't like preparing topics.
Should we do like a lightning round where it's like you try to stump us with some question and just whatever you got?
I don't know if questions is the right thing or is it topics? It's hey, who do you think's gonna take over Cuba?
Yeah, just blowhard. Anything you want us to blowhard on.
Yeah.
We'll have a take on anything.
We'll have a hot take
on literally
anything. Better if it's in the realm of world politics, right?
Yeah.
If it's just like, and if anyone asks us, is a hot dog a sandwich? You get kicked out immediately.
Out immediately. None of that.
This is morning radio.
It is not a sandwich for the record.
This is not a secondary market morning radio show. This is the big deal. So, Kaplan, that's it. That's where you can find me. That's also where you can find Kaplan. You can find me at turnersparks.com. I'm on tour September through December. I'm sorry. I'm going all over California, Texas, Oklahoma, North Carolina, New York, all over the place. Oregon. I forgot about Oregon. If you're in any of those states, come out and see me. Great openers. Andrew Heaton, Professor Andrew Heaton's opening a lot of the Texas shows and the Oklahoma show. So come out to that. I have people all over the place. Now, Kaplan, on today's episode.
Yeah, what are we doing?
We're doing something a little different. I'm on vacation in California. It's the dead of the summer. Every once in a while, we got to take a week off. But other shows, they take a week off and they just go dead air. They don't show up for you.
No,
we
we're
take
not.
A week off and we still give you something.
You got to recharge the batteries every once in a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we take a week off accidentally because a guest flakes on us. But usually we do not take weeks off. We almost never take a week off. You know, go back through the last 4 years, four plus years. We're like the mailman.
And this isn't really a week off because we're releasing an episode. But this episode is just you and I. It's from a recent episode of our Patreon show, Live from the Bunker. And what you need to do, this is we're giving you this sample for free. Mm-hmm. So you can get an idea of what we do on that show. And then if you like it, which you will, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica for $5 a month. You get this show that we're about to play for you 3 times a week. It's just Kaplan and I, straight comedy, talking about our lives. You will see this one we're about to talk about. We're about to play for you. It's a trip I took to Williamsburg, Brooklyn recently.
Yeah, it's sort of like you... You know, we talk a lot about the world over here, but this is you lost in America, in your very own city in America.
Just well, as we always lost. Say, on the Lost in America show, we learn about the world. On Live from the Bunker, the world learns about us.
Yeah, and this one sort of bridges the gap because it's like you're going to learn about us, and we're going to learn about how lost you are in America. And I am almost going to serve as the comedian expert because it's about my people, the Jews.
Yeah, so this is an episode about the Jews. So you are the guest this episode, Ken.
In a way.
So I think that's it. I don't think we should waste any more time here. Did we forget? Oh, we almost forgot. I was in Detroit, Michigan all last week and had 3 great shows with Drew Fralick. And I want to give a shout out to a Lost in America listener, a one David Silva, who I do not know David Silva personally. If you're listening, David, I wish you would have stayed because I did a show in Ferndale, Michigan, famously known as the drunkest town in Michigan.
The drunkest dads of America, they say.
And it did not disappoint. Everybody was, they were ripped. They were hammered at that show.
Hanging from the chandeliers at the church, I heard. They were
hanging from the chandeliers. And before the show started, about 30 minutes before, I got a message from Drew Fralick, who was running the door. And he said, hey, this guy is a listener to your show, and he wants to buy tickets. He said he loves Lost in America. He listens to he loves the Central America, South America episodes. But then, David, I saw you sitting in the front row. Didn't get to meet you after the show. So write us in. Contact us. Contact me on social media. That's the best way to do it. Everybody else, get tickets to that tour. The Double Happiness Tour is off and running. Full new hour of stand-up comedy. If you have my first album, Turner Sparks Live from the Friars Club. It's all new material.
Nothing. Yeah, don't repeat one word. It's all new. It's a different language practically.
Currently, I'm repeating, I think, one bit.
One bit.
All right. 3 minutes out of an hour. But by the time you see me in September, there'll be no repeats. So come to all that.
David Silva had a great time. He said he raved about the show.
He raved about the show, even though I didn't talk to him after.
You know, he left right afterwards.
Meeting immediately is usually a bad sign. Usually when you don't want to meet, when the celebrity is more interested in meeting you than you are them,
yeah,
that's not
good. So maybe you should retract this.
Maybe I should retract all of that. The shows were great, though. Everybody
right. Turner's now down on himself. You got to bring him back up. You got to write in and say how much you love the show.
Write it. Yeah, fluff me a little bit. Pamper me.
Delicate
That's
ego.
It, Cap. Should we get to this episode? This is a special episode for free of Live from the Bunker. Cap, what should we do?
Play the music.
Play the music.
This meeting is being recorded.
All right, everybody, welcome to Live from the Bunker. My name's Turner Sparks. With me, Sir Michael Ira Kaplan. I'm in my bunker. Kaplan's in his bunker. You are in your bunkers, America. I'm on now. And Kaplan, I had a excursion, outing, adventure, whatever you want to call it, to super Jewish Brooklyn the other day.
Super Jewlands?
Super.
You left your bunker to go to, it's like going to Colonial Williamsburg.
Oh, boy, was I a goy in super Jewish Brooklyn, Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Now, was this intentional, or did you go to Peter Luger Steakhouse and then they make a wrong turn? Or what was the...
Is that where Peter Luger... People on airplanes always tell me, oh, you live in Brooklyn? What about Peter Luger Steakhouse? Always on airplanes.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of it. I don't know where it is. Is that what they're talking
Peter
about?
Peter Luger's is a steakhouse that's right under the Williamsburg Bridge, and it's like if you go... just a little bit south and over, you just end up in
you know what it is? Peter Luger's is the one. Remember, you know how they advertise on airplane in the in-flight magazine, Like, it'll say the top five steakhouses in Austin, and then it'll just be whatever steakhouses paid him money to be in the top five. For New York, Peter Luger's is one of those.
Well, no, the thing with Luger's is Luger's is the famous one, right? And then you have places that are famous for other reasons, like Spark Steakhouse is famous because there was like a mob shooting there, so that makes
shout
it,
out
and your name, yeah. But there's a lot of steakhouses that have sprung up in the last 20, 15 years that are like some guy who was involved in Luger's. So it's like it started with like the chef.
Oh,
great.
The Luger's
then it was like
tree.
The butcher. No, then it was like a guy who was the maitre d' at Luger's.
Oh boy,
the coaching. Yeah, it's like the special teams coach. The coaching tree went Uncle Jack's. I think it's called. The guy was like a waiter at Luger's.
Oh boy,
and they all copied the like steak sauce and everything. But yeah,
well, I did not go there. No,
you didn't go there. But I'm saying if you go there and you kind of walk, like if you park a far away, you could end up in Julin. Like I've accidentally ended up, you know, in it, it's like going back in time. It's like ending up in like Poland
bizarre.
Or somewhere.
So, Kaplan, if you'd asked me a week ago and said, have you ever been to Super Jewish Brooklyn? I would have said yes. But turns out the answer was
no. You just thought all of New York was super Jewish.
I thought your house was super Jewish.
You just
Brooklyn.
Thought, like, I saw, you see, every time those guys ask you to shake the Lula Vanette rogue, the guys in the hats, to say, are you, you thought, like, oh, that makes, this is what New York is. There's super Jews here.
No, I've driven, I mean, in all reality, I've ridden my bike from my place to Williamsburg to do those park comedy shows. And I thought I was going through. It turns out I was kind of going around the super Jewish.
And there's levels. So there's more than one area. Like there's like Borough Park and there's Midwood, which is like there's Sheepshead Bay. There's areas that are like a little bit light. They're very Jewish, but they're more like they're not peak. This is I think you were in the peak land the other day.
Okay. Yes. We crossed a street. First of all, we were on the hunt. We're building our, renovating our new apartment.
Building an apartment.
Ye is looking for a backsplash for the kitchen, and we needed to buy tiles.
A backsplash.
And so
Wow. We
find all these tile outlets.
And we're a tile guy.
We're going to go one by one and walk or bike or whatever, make our way to them. I think we walked the whole thing.
Wow. This is what you're doing with your time. In the tile outlet stores.
It's a big Saturday. We're doing all the tile outlets. And we go to the first one, fine, no big deal, right? It's in it's right next to this project. We're in Brooklyn, right next to a project that has glass backboards on this basketball court. It's like NBA basketball court in the middle of this project. I looked it up. Tracy Morgan built it for them.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say, like, when you're in real projects, it's like the metal nets. That's like
No. This was like you're in an NBA court. But anyway, That's neither here nor there. Now we start walking to the next one. And we walk to the next one, and we come up to another project, and I go, oh, I think this is the one. It's Marcy Projects. You go, this is where Jay-Z grew up. Oh, look at
so
us.
So first you're doing a projects tour of New York.
We're doing a projects tour. And then we're walking. So you're walking through the Marcy Projects.
And like, who are their landlords?
It's a Saturday afternoon, you know. And who are their landlords?
Let's go tour them.
And then you cross the street from the Marcy Projects, which is mostly African-American people, cross the street.
I don't want to generalize.
And you are cross the street and you are in The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
I mean, these outfits are over the top. They're these big hats, giant beards. We know who I'm talking about, right? We know what these people look like.
This is what James Esham said. That people are coming from Williamsburg. Williamsburg people.
The women are
fetching.
They're what?
They're fetching. No.
Well, if pale is your type, yes. If sheet white is your color, then yes. They also wear long sleeves, these big hair nets. I don't know why the hair net. Are they always about to get in the shower?
Well, okay. No, because they're wearing the hair net so when you say hair net, you mean because the hair looks short?
A lot of them then have a thing on top. Like,
yeah, they're wearing wigs. Are you aware of this? Like,
no, I had no idea they were wearing wigs.
Okay, so that's the first thing. They wear wigs because they can wear, only their husbands can see their real hair.
Wait, that's
like
the
they're part of their culture. So they have, like, they have hair. They shit
so
when they get
you're
married.
Making this more. This might be beyond Handmaid's
Tale.
Yeah,
you didn't know how Handmaid's Tale it was.
No,
I believe when they get married, they shave their head down to like a...
Oh my God. Okay, this is hilarious. This is amazing because can you imagine telling just like a regular New York City Jewish woman that she has to shave her head to get married?
I mean, you save a lot of money at the beauty, the salon. Yeah. Yeah, but they also like sometimes...
So they have shaved heads.
your shade or very short hair, so they could put the like
crew cut.
The crew cut look, yes, the crew cut look. It's like, so then
flat tops.
That's why you never saw Unorthodox, right? The like, if you ever watch one
of
the Netflix series where the girl leaves this tribe. No, that's why when they escape, they look like they're like party girls from like Eastern Europe disco girls who are in the short hair look or
I see when they
break out because they don't have any hair.
They look like Latvian club goers.
Exactly, they're kind of pale.
Yeah, they're like hair. They have a DJ booth.
Exactly, they're ready to go. So they don't have hair. They have like, sometimes they can look pretty stylish in the wigs. You can tell the more wealthier ones have the nicer wigs, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the hair nets, I don't even know what that, maybe that's because they don't have the wigs not in right or the wrong one. But
that could be.
And they wear, I don't know if you noticed that they all wear, the kids like have the matching outfit look going. So they'll have like seven daughters all wearing the same clothes or whatever.
Oh, and that's again.
And I think that's maybe the product of just having lots of children, and it's just like you can't make choices. But yeah, that's one of the other observations that I have, because they do, as the Entepak likes to complain, they come here a lot. I don't have to go to them. They get on the ferry and they come to Long Island City to enjoy, especially during peak COVID.
Why do they come to Long Island City?
I think because, I mean, the people on the Entepak speculate that there's so much disease in their neighborhood that they want to bring it here. God. That's literally what was being said. And I don't like to defend. I'm not a fan of ultra religious in any religion, even especially my people. But I had to defend them because I didn't like that connotation. But yeah, they liked. I think it's because it's by the ferry. It's an easy commute. They come. They have so many kids. It's playgrounds. It's like you don't have to see all the same people every time.
Yeah.
So they travel. Where was I? Well, I don't even know what I was saying. But yeah, they have a lot of children, and they wear the same clothes. That's where
I'll
we're
keep
at so
going.
Far. And they wear
I'll
wigs. Yeah.
So here's what I do. Well, I'm going to keep going with what I don't like about it.
What do you like and what I don't like?
What I don't like about it also.
Pros and cons. Try to sell me on it. Maybe I can become one.
Well, it was a Sunday. Now I remember it was a Sunday because we were looking for these tile shops. Turns out 80%, by my count, 80% of the tile shops in New York City, they're run by the super Jewish community.
Well, the Jews, we have certain businesses that we run. No, I didn't know the tiles were one, but the tile district, now known to. Yeah, there's some business. That's
and
one
here's
of
the
ours.
Thing. They were all closed on Sunday.
No, you must have been there on Saturday.
We were not. We were there on Sunday, and that's what I said. I said, I thought Saturday was the day
Saturday
off. What
is
are they
the
doing
day.
Today? It's like, hey, baby, get back to work. You know?
I don't know. Maybe they can't get any.
These tiles don't sell themselves.
That's a good. I mean, I guess they want a day off. It is the weekend still. You know,
yeah,
they're still in America.
I thought it's a working people. I thought it was a, hey, let's, you know.
No positive stereotype.
Get up early.
Like
it's a farming community, right? Aren't they from farming background?
Aren't they farming? Wait. Yeah, when
farmers,
they were in Poland.
There's corns growing whether you're sleeping or not, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never gone.
Or am I mixing them up with the Amish when I say
that's
farming?
The Amish, yes. Okay. I've never gone into the, I mean, they in the old country, they were on farms, I'm sure. But
that's
was
what I was.
In the 1600s.
A kibbutz
is, no, that's in Israel. You're mixing up everything now.
Okay. They're not from Israel? Oh, that's going to get me to my next point.
Yeah, I know a lot of them. Yeah, what was your next point? I'll let you go and then I'll fill in.
Another thing that I wouldn't say this is good or bad, just an observation, is they're immediate. Literally, you leave the Marcy Projects and walk across the street and it is a different language.
Right.
100% of the people around you are now, it's like, Jay-Z and his family does not cross the street. They don't go that way.
No.
And then old, I don't know, Shlomo and the crew.
Mendel Tenenbaum does not come over.
They don't go his way.
No.
And you cross the street and it's a different language.
It's a different culture. It's a different country altogether.
It's a country. It's a country unto itself. Right. Own laws, their own everything.
So you asked me what...
I was wondering, is that Hebrew? That must be
right.
Hebrew they're speaking.
They are not speaking Hebrew. They are speaking what we call Yiddish. Most likely. I don't think they speak Hebrew very often, unless they're praying.
Okay, so Yiddish, as far as I understand, it's like a few words, like, ugh, yuck, oh,
schmuck.
The fish.
So you thought Yiddish was schmuck, putz, oikevalt.
Is it really a whole language?
Oh, my God. This is a serious question.
This is a serious question. Wait, I thought it was just like, I thought it was slang for Hebrew. I thought Hebrew is the language, and Yiddish is the slang. Like,
oh
we say,
God.
Like, Ebonics.
This is old school Lost in America. No, the other way. So... Okay, Hebrew is a language.
I can't be the only one who doesn't know this.
So go. No, you're not the only one, but I'll back it. No, Hebrew is a language. Going back into biblical times, they actually spoke Aramaic, and Hebrew was the Bible. But anyway.
Hebrew's a language. Okay, I'm
Hebrew's
right.
a language, but it was only people who spoke Hebrew, you know, were people in, like, Israel, you know, in old before it was Israel, like, going back. So Yiddish is, it's a form of German. It's like German from
German.
Like the mid, yeah, it's like New High German, I think. It's like German from like the 14th century or basically at some point, I don't forget the year, German, there were so many Jews, they basically formed a language where it was mostly German. The letters are Hebrew letters. They use the Hebrew letters.
It's yeah, very confusing.
It's very confusing. It's like when you're a minority, it's like sort of like when you're like, you have your own languages. It's like a fascinating thing. Like I'm sure linguistics could give you more intelligence on this, but like the Jews of like Spain, they had their own language too called Ladino. Like just like, and I'm sure other minority groups in different parts of the world have had their own languages within a language.
Yes.
So yeah, it's like you said in China, like each city has their own language sort of kind of thing.
Each city has their own language. Yeah. I always found living in China, English was it was like a code language, right? You can speak it around your friends. If you want to talk about somebody who's across the room, you can talk about them in English. Nobody's going to get it. Most likely, no one's going to get it. If you really want to go deep, you go Spanish. But it also made me realize that I understood how minority groups, like the Italians, formed a mafia so quick.
Yeah.
Because when you have your own code language, it's hyperspeed to crime. If you want to get something done, if you want to rob the guy behind the counter, you can make the plan while you're looking at him, you're standing right in front of him. And that's when I went, oh, I get it. I could have a mob. There was a point when we almost started a mob in China.
Right. And then the Jews, there used to be Jewish mobs, right?
I've heard of those.
And they spoke Yiddish because, like, you know, Yiddish was in New York City in the early 20th century. There were, I believe, 6 daily newspapers written in Yiddish. Like, it was the language of all the Jews who were Eastern European descent. It spread out. It started in Germany, I think, but it was spread out to Poland and to, yeah.
So Yiddish.
It was theater company.
For people, it started in Germany, but why would they then use Hebrew if it started in Germany?
Because all Jews know Hebrew letters as like part of their.
You're born?
Because there didn't used to be like Reform Jews, liberal Jews. It was just if you were a Jew, you were a religious Jew. You were a Jew. You prayed.
So to be able to read your own Bible, you have to know.
Yeah, you know Hebrew. All Jews would know Hebrew.
No matter where you're born in the world, you know Hebrew.
You knew Hebrew. Yeah. You
until
didn't know
we got to the New York City, like the Webbers and the.
Yeah,
Jews
yeah. You didn't
the,
maybe yeah. Conversationally know Hebrew, but you knew how to read Hebrew because you knew the Bible, you know, the Torah.
So they kind of formed a code language.
It's like a code. I think over time it broke off and there's differences. Now, my grandmother would say, like, I think she could converse with someone in German. She didn't speak German, but, like, there was enough similar words, but there was a lot of words that were different. There were words they used to say, like, I don't know if this is true, but I remember my uncle would say, like, there's no word for war in the Yiddish language because it's never been used by a country. Like, there's no nation. Like, there's words that were – it was never used by a government. So it was, like, certain words they just –
I'm going to have to say that sounds like blowharding.
It might not have been war. It might have been – it was some government word. I remember. But, yeah, so my great uncle spoke it. One of my grandmothers spoke it. All Jews used to speak it. And then when Israel was formed, you know, we did that theme this week in 1948, they early Zionism, they decided they didn't want to use Yiddish because they thought the Jews of like the Middle East had never heard of it. So it wasn't a language to them. And B, it was kind of like, I think they kind of looked at it like loser talk. It was like, we have not done well in all these countries speaking Yiddish. Obviously the Holocaust is fresh in their minds, but it was like,
almost think maybe this is why people didn't like us.
Yeah. It was like, we're going to rebrand. It kind of worked. Cause now the Jews have gone the other way. They're too aggressive. But, and then Yiddish and it died out over time because people, it became like a lot. Now the only people, that's the irony is that a lot of secular Jews, you say Weber types, bemoan, like, you know, you always bemoan the loss of things. So we bemoan the loss of like this old culture. There used to be all these great Yiddish writers and
plays.
But
at the same time, you do nothing to maintain it.
We don't do anything to maintain it. The only people who are maintaining this language are the people we sort of hate. The people they're like, so like in theory, if they, I always say like, if those people have enough kids who then become more secularized, they will like at least bring Yiddish into the future.
Yes.
And it's like a thing to do as like an adult education thing is try to teach yourself Yiddish, but there's no practical reason.
Can I say something very similar happened in China, which is that people would come over, like American tourists would come over, European tourists as well. They would come over and they would go, oh, they would bemoan the loss of these shanty villages because like, oh, they've China's lost its culture. You bulldozed the shanty and built this beautiful new high-rise apartment that looks modern. Yeah. Oh, we feel so bad for these people. It's like, no, these people were living in squalor and now they're living in a high-rise apartment that's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because you're bemoaning the fact that when you come visit for 10 days once in your life, you want to see poor people. You want to see these people in squalor because it makes you feel like you have culture.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, so in Europe, where like
when you leave, they still have to live in that. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah, like we did Ukraine this week on the pod, and in places like Ukraine, there used to be tons of Yiddish, and it's like a sad situation that there's a reason there's no Yiddish there now. But in America, it's the opposite. It's
why are there no Yiddish?
Well, because there's no Jews left. You know, they were all, you know.
Oh,
the,
that was
That's the end of the end of Yiddish in all these countries was that they got rid of all the Jews. But in America, it's the opposite. In America, the Jews did well and assimilated and aren't like, we don't need a code language.
Yes.
Maybe we'll need one in the future. I don't know. But
everybody else needs a code language.
You should need a code language. Talk about us. But we didn't need a code language anymore. We could speak English and we could use a few words. You know, it's good that we had the schmucks and the putzes of the world.
Yeah, so there's like nine words.
There's like nine words.
Well, there's probably more that you guys know.
But. I mean, I was literally at a kosher deli. I was in New Jersey over the weekend and I took the kids to see my grandparents' old favorite kosher deli. And on the menu, it's like a very touristy thing almost where they're like, it's like, yeah, like 9 or 10 words in Yiddish of ordering things, like what you should do. And I'm like, I don't even know half of these things. And I'm Mr. Super Jew. So
yeah,
that's a couple
last things here.
Yeah.
Noticed because it's Pride Month in New York City, right? It's Pride Month in America, actually, probably in the world. And first of all, I still think they should say Gay Pride Month because I was listening to the radio. We were driving in from somewhere. I don't know if we had a rental car or what it was. Oh, yeah. A couple weeks ago, we had a rental car. And we were driving back to New York City. And they were saying it was like South Carolina Pride Month.
Oh,
and it sounds like we're, you know, bringing back up the Confederacy.
Right.
The pride of South Carolina.
That doesn't sound good.
It was a tourism for South Carolina commercial saying South Carolina Pride Month. Come on down.
So they weren't saying Gay Pride.
No, at the very end of the commercial, they never once said Gay Pride, right. But I don't know if it was a cruise or something about it in made me realize, oh, they mean Gay Pride.
Yeah.
But it was a guy with a southern accent.
They're trying to trap you in. Oh, it's really tricky.
Come on down to South Carolina Pride Month, everybody.
Come on down. Get your rainbow flag and come on down.
Do you think he's trying to? Yeah, I think at the very end, he goes, we got a rainbow cruise. And then I went, it's Gay Pride Month.
Maybe they hired the guy and they knew he wouldn't do a Gay Pride commercial, but they liked his voice. So they basically tricked him into doing the spot.
Or maybe they're trying to get everybody. Like, it's coded for the gays to come down and it's coded for the people who, like,
what about people who just have pride, like in general, you know, it's really so.
I don't think that's what it's for.
No,
because people can have pride for conflicting ideas.
I don't have any pride in anything, so I'd be a terrible gay. Like you're asking me, it's one thing to come out of the closet and all that, but like to have pride about anything I've done in my life? No, I can't do that. That's a bridge too far.
That's too far. What about James Edstrom? What does he do for Pride Month?
Yeah, he
the queen
is
of queens.
He's the queen of queens. He's real. He's not feeling very proud. He's very upset because Brent O'Reilly did not win. He's very upset because the food trucks are all double parked because there was a lot of fireworks the other night.
Food trucks are double parked. What about the Weather Channel? You know what did they come back?
This is off topic, but somebody wrote an email. Like you cannot. He's James the Grouch. You can't be positive. Somebody sent an article.
That's his bit too. Like he knows it, right?
It's his bit. Somebody sent an article. Literally, the article was how they're opening up a Target in Long Island City, but it's like the other. It's like not the. It's like by. It's basically like two subway stops away because like it's a big area or like a 15 to 20 minute walk from where we live. Right.
Yeah.
It's just a simple thing. Like good news is Target coming. He writes a 2-paragraph monologue. I don't have in front of me, but it was like, there's nowhere to shop around here. I can't even buy a stamp. There's the prices here are exorbitant. It's I'm just sick of it. I'm so angry right now. DoorDash, that's great. If you have a car, you go to Target. I'm too old. I can't carry bags from Target 20 minutes. So he's like more mad that there's a Target that's too far away.
He thinks that Target should have consulted him before they moved.
Everything should be on our block because he doesn't
move
even
closer to him.
He doesn't even walk the like three blocks to the main Dragon Tower.
By the way, if you had a Target in your building, he would hate it so much.
Oh, he'd be complaining about the noise. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so point being that it's Pride Month in New York City. You can't walk two blocks without seeing a rainbow flag or anything except when you're in super Jewish Brooklyn. Not a peep of gay Pride Month.
Well, a couple things I always find. One, you bring this up. It's funny timing. I always say there's different sects of the Orthodox, right? You were there. Where you were is like the Satmars and the I'm blanking on the name, but they're the two most hardcore ultra Orthodox Hasidics, right?
Okay.
The Chabad, which is where my kids go to Hebrew school, they're the most like, they're Orthodox. Don't get me wrong.
Is it Chabad? Does that mean like a church, like a temple?
Chabad is it's a sect. It's like they believe
it's a
this
type
is,
of.
This,
okay.
They're named after this one rabbi, the Lubavitch.
So your kids go to an Orthodox school?
They do because it's the only one in the neighborhood. But my point is Chabad's very welcoming. In like they think any Judaism they get out of a Jew is going to help bring back the Messiah. So like they're the people who are getting you to shake that thing when you see the people on the street.
I see. They're down on the street. Yeah, they're friendly.
Like, they're kind of like, yeah, it's almost
these
like
other ones not
more,
so friendly.
No,
they
that's,
didn't,
that's what I'm getting at.
They
so
were not happy about us.
There was a viral a photo on Jew Twitter, J Twitter, we call it,
sure.
Today, that I kept seeing where it was like from the Tel Aviv gay LGBTQ plus rally.
Yeah.
There was a viral footage of a Chabad guy, you know what tefillin are, which is where they get. They get the guy on the side of the street. They wrap this thing around your arm. It's like a real hardcore prayer thing.
They wrap it around a Jewish person's arm, or
wrap a Jewish person's arm, and they have you say a few prayers, and they consider that like if they can get a Jew to do that, who's not normally religious.
It's a mitzvah.
That's a huge mitzvah. But these guys in the Orthodox that you're talking about, they would not want a gay person. They would not believe in a gay person doing this. But sure. The Chabad guys were at the gay pride parade. So that's why I always defend them because they're the most.
All right,
you know.
That seems like the Jewish version of my church, my Presbyterian church.
Yeah, it's a very
religious in the Pride Parade.
They're not pro gay. Don't get me wrong, but they're
not.
They're not marching in the parade, but they're not. They don't think you're going to hell, kind of thing. So they're not the now.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah,
Jews.
But the other thing that I brought up when I was defending these people a little bit to the Entapac. Is that they are living, as you said, in another country. So they don't have TV. They don't have internet. They consider it like a sin. It is like they don't, unless it's like a sanctioned thing.
Internet. Why not? Why no internet? Because there's bad things on the internet.
They don't want, exactly. So like, they do not know.
There's good things on the
internet.
They
don't know what's going on in the world. Essentially, like the COVID stuff, the reason why COVID partly was such a problem there is that they get their information secondhand, third hand. So like you have to get the rabbi that they listen to agree to your cause, and then they hear it from him, and then like, oh, okay, we'll do that. So like they listen to their rabbis, and they listen. So they have no idea, not that they would be going to it, but they have no idea Gay Pride Month even is happening. Like they don't know.
I see. True
ignorance. They do not know like the amount. Like, well, and that's why during the election in New York, they have like their own Yang agreed to like the reason he got their endorsement. He agreed that he wasn't going to touch the way they educate their kids, but they have like their own education requirements in public schools. Like they don't have the same schooling my kids get or every other kid in your
school. It's like their own country. They have a different
I don't think they get critical race theory. There's no
critical race theory.
I mean, they wouldn't even know
the same thing.
It would be so bizarre because they don't even think about like the way they would think about like black and white issues is totally different.
Jay-Z lives there. I live here.
Yeah, because they don't like those people, obviously, but they don't like you either. They don't like me. You know, like
they really don't like you.
Well, actually, they think of me as the worst because I was born a Jew.
You and Ari Shapiro are the worst.
You didn't have because you didn't have a choice, sort of. Like you're bad, but you're like, but I was born a Jew.
I was born bad.
Yeah, I was born.
You were born good.
I was born chosen,
and then you went bad.
And I chose
broke bad.
Broke bad. But did you see? No, go on.
Oh, no, but you, maybe this is where you're going, but you had told me about a mix-up with their Pride event, where they had sent out something, Happy Pride Month or something like that.
Oh, right. Yes, I did tell you that.
Yes.
That wasn't them, but there was a kosher restaurants in New York City that I guess hired, like, had sent out the Mendy's, which is, you know, from the Seinfeld episode with the soup.
I don't know Mendy's, but they had a PR team, you said.
They basically sent out some emails to their people being like, happy Pride Month. All the stuff you get from like social justice email lists.
Yeah, everybody have a great Pride
Month.
And
some of their clientele did not like that. And then they had to send out follow-up saying that, like, oh, we hired a social marketing team. We don't look at the stuff. Basically,
so they're
like,
saying, apologies for wishing you happy Pride Month. Don't worry. We really hate gays. We still hate gays.
They got a tiptoe.
And what did people think about them versus, now, where would them versus Chick-fil-A? Should they have like some type of agreement, some type of union? Because they come together on the fact that they both hate gays.
Right, and they can work out a thing where you know, they're not open on Sundays.
Like a 2-for-1, maybe.
Chick-fil-A's not open on Sundays, so you could send the people to the kosher place. We're not open on Saturdays. We work out a deal where you go to, we send our customers. So we need kosher Chick-fil-A, though.
Here's the issue. The only issue, I think a lot of the Chick-fil-A fans don't like the kosher fans. I don't know if those two crowds enjoy each other.
They don't. Yeah. I mean, they don't hate each other. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe they don't. They defend Israel. They don't know why.
Well, that's the thing. So here's what's, I'm going to blow your mind a little. It gets a little tricky. Some of those people don't like Israel.
Wait, some who?
The people in Brooklyn, the Hasidim.
Really? The super Jews?
There's a sect of super Jews. There's different sects. So it's like I'm blending them all together. But there's one sect that they believe because the Messiah, right? Everybody's very important with the Jewish Messiah because we don't believe Jesus was the guy.
Yeah, waiting.
We're still waiting for
you
the Mashiach.
You said you believe he was a guy, but not the guy.
He hasn't come yet. They're still waiting. They're just waiting. So the Chabads, they're the ones who they sing Mashiach now. They give it. There's one group that believes that there's a part in the Bible that says essentially the Messiah is going to come back when the entire world is lined up against the Jews.
Oh my gosh.
The idea of
Israel. So they liked things like.
They don't think Israel should exist because they're saying that Israel's only going to exist when the Messiah brings Israel back. Because that's also part of the deal. When the Messiah comes back, Israel, the whole greater Israel goes to the Jews and all the Jews. I don't even know how we're. But they also believe, so the fact that America is supporting Israel, is supporting
but
Jews.
They don't like that.
They don't like that. So like most of the world does line up against Israel.
Jeez, Louise.
It's like tanking in basketball, like the ultimate Sam Hinkies. They want to lose.
Trust the process.
Yeah, the Holocaust didn't go far enough. You're right. They're like, why did you get involved, America and Britain?
They believe the
Messiah was about to get involved, and you came in.
Oh my gosh.
So that's one interesting nugget.
That's quite the nugget.
The other thing I was going to... it wasn't quite on that level, but I was thinking this is that my first experience, real experience with this extreme world was when I was in Israel. More of them are in Brooklyn. Believe it or not, I believe the ultra-Orthodox are even more hardcore in Brooklyn than even in most parts of Israel. But there's a neighborhood. There are a lot of the Haredi, I believe is what Dan said, in Israel too. There's a lot of ultra-Orthodox. But there's a neighborhood in Jerusalem called Mea Shearim. And this neighborhood is like, you talk about, it's like really like going back in time. Like they don't have like, you're like walking through like, I was there in 20 years ago, but it was no tech. Every once in a while, you would see some guy like almost sneak out a flip phone, cell phone.
Yes.
And that was like the one, like he's like allowed to have it, but there's no technology. There's, you know, the clothes are being dried on the, you know, everything.
Windows. Yeah. Windows and hangers.
They don't have any news. News doesn't come there, but it comes by like carrier pigeon or something. And we went there. Our tour group took us there. And I don't understand. They know. They want to show us these people. These people do not like being treated like zoo animals.
Yeah.
And they do not like seeing women. Like, they don't like seeing women who are not dressed like.
They don't like women with hair.
Well, most of the girls in our group listened to the advice of like really modest. But some of the girls just did not understand why this would be a thing. Like, every Israeli they met was cool, whatever. So they didn't. Like, it wasn't like they were dressed like going out on a Saturday night, but they were dressed. They were showing too much skin.
Sure.
So the combination, I think, of these two. A little slutty. A little combination of these two things. And they didn't cut their hair for us, men. So the combination of all these things, and these people started throwing rocks at us. They started throwing bags. They threw bags of water, I thought, but I actually realized later it was bags of piss, someone said.
Oh
like they were throwing stuff at us.
You mean they just have piss ready just in case?
Yeah, it was like water balloon bags.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was a way like in the olden day. The Palestinians used to throw rocks at soldiers before they got more high tech, they used to say. That's what it was like they were doing the same thing, but to us, it was like they were throwing bags of...
Well, no one threw any rocks at us in Brooklyn the other
day.
Yeah,
Brooklyn is a little better because they have a little more outside contact. And the last thing I wanted to ask you, because we talked about this, I think, last episode or two episodes ago. Did you notice the Arev thing I mentioned? The line of wire?
No, I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. But I was specifically looking
for it. So Stephen Kaplan gave me some... he's a little more knowledgeable on the Jew stuff. So he says, slight correction. I got it. It's like basically there's rules in Judaism where you're allowed in the home to carry things during even on Sabbath because you're at home. And you just can't do it outside the home. So the Erev, it's like they connect all the homes, I guess, through this wire in like the main part of a town so people can go. So essentially while you walk around your town, you're still at home if you're under that wire. So
wire means it's like the same structure.
Yeah, so you're not like allowed to like play video games, but you're allowed to push a stroller or carry a bag. So that was his one. But he said like Jews, like he said the finding loophole thing. Like he mentioned that there was a town in Iraq, you know, like when Jews used to live in Iraq, where it was like part of the local culture. Some dish were like a meat and milk dish was part of a and like the rabbis basically ruled for generations. They're like, oh, it's allowed because it's part of the culture already before we made this rule.
Before we got here.
So like, so there was a loophole to the meat milk rule basically because they like to eat.
But you have to live in Iraq.
You have to live in Iraq.
That's the downside.
Iraq used to be pre-Saddam Hussein. It was lovely. So that's enough Jewish knowledge for the day. I'm sure I got that wrong too. We'll get follow-up hate mail. But
well, the last thing, and we're almost done here. I mean, we're really doing one topic per episode these
days.
We're
really getting long-winded.
But one of the things I loved about it was the second you cross the street, you leave Jay-Z's neighborhood and into the super Jewish neighborhood, all the signs change. And it's all, I mean, really, you get this feeling like you're in a different country.
Yeah, like
more so than I would say Chinatown. I mean,
the school buses are all in Hebrew lettering. It's written in Yiddish, but yeah.
All the buildings are. I'm like looking at these really cool buildings. I'm like, maybe it's a bank. I don't know. Is it a hospital? Who knows? Because all the signs are different.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why my kids are always like, oh, there's so many Jews. And when they come to my neighborhood, they're like, there's so many Jews. Look. And I'm like, you have to like identify we're Jews. But it's fascinating to like, it is interesting to see how they,
you know, it is because it's such a small neighborhood too. It's really like going into a different land at Disneyland. That's what it feels like. You cross this one street and all of a sudden you're in Tomorrowland and you're like, whoa, look at all this stuff.
And that's what my point is. It's like, but it's authentic. So it's like when people are complaining about them in the Yenta pack, I just think it's hilarious because they are not going to see this message ever.
Going to see it. Yeah.
They don't even understand you're taking a picture of them to put on Facebook. They don't even know what that is. Like,
you're not shaming them.
It's like they're coming from another. And it's hard to shame when they don't. Yeah. It's like two-way street, but they don't like.
To be shamed, you have to know that the internet exists and that you're on it.
Yeah. So it is fascinating.
In closing, I'll say that we went back to one specific place on the border of their neighborhood the other day to find a tile shop. We went in. It was Hasidic Jewish run, and they were lovely people. We bought the tiles from them.
So you got a tile guy now.
We got a tile lady.
Do you need bathtubs by any chance?
We have a bathtub. We don't.
Oh, because I know a guy. You know,
extra bathtub.
My jeweler Ben. He
he's pivoted.
He's like
the bathtub.
It's a long story, but somebody gave him a really good deal. He's the ultimate like business.
Was he on
someone
one
gave him
bathtub?
A really good deal. They were building an apartment building and they couldn't use the bathtubs, so he took like 100 bathtubs off their hands. He's got them stored in a warehouse in my neighborhood.
I'm trying to
take a cut. So if anybody out there needs a bathtub, you'll get like wholesale prices. You'll be getting like,
yeah, but Kaplan, most apartments now come with bathtubs.
That's the problem with this planet is it wasn't well thought out. I mean, Ben, I love him. God bless the guy. He's a mensch, but he doesn't. He gets a little ahead of himself sometimes with his plans. So we might have to add him to the roster of characters. Yeah.
Sounds good, Cap. That's it from my bunker to your bunker to the world's bunker. What should we do?
Well, it's Friday night. You've inspired me. I'm going to go light the Shabbos candles. So Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
And that's the ultimate. Bunker up.
Bunker up.
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.